Says Ministry of God's Word, if you'll please take that out and stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. We are on the series of worship, and this is the third sermon in that series. Probably one of the things that we, all Christians, have to work at to a degree is to get beyond that which we are raised, because we have a tendency to hold on to denominational habits. And God shows us wonderful, wonderful things in His Word about worship. And as I mentioned several weeks ago, every time we have a window into heaven in Scripture, you know what they're doing is worshiping. Well, this morning, we see one of those windows. And always, always, whether it's worship, whether it's anything else in Scripture, what will we do? What will we do when we are confronted with truth? Will we ignore it? We say, well, I don't do that. Or as the story I told several weeks ago about the gentleman who came in and he entered a church where everybody in the church didn't say praise the Lord. And every time the minister said something, he said, praise the Lord. And after a while, someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, we don't praise the Lord here. We don't want to get stuck in habits and traditions. So let's take a look at Revelation 1. Revelation, verses 1 through 11. Revelation 4. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, you give us these words. You give us this Holy Scripture. Not that so we can read it with, not so just we can read it, but so that it affects us, our thoughts, and the way we worship. I pray, Father, that you will impress upon our hearts the urgency and the need that we have to worship you for what it does to us as well as what we do in worshiping you. Open our ears this morning. Cause us, Lord, to listen with attentive hearts and ears, so that we may take it in, so that we might be transformed by the truth that you give us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Have you ever been to Disney World? Not too many, huh? I bet there's more. And you go on the monorail and you go all around the park and you see all the park and you're sitting there and you're taking everything in. And what a wonder, what a sight it is to see all that's there. And your mouth drops open. Then maybe perhaps you've been to the Grand Canyon. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? Look how many. A lot of us. Put your hands up again. Look around. Look how many. You people are rich. Same thing. You stand there and you look. You look out in awe and in wonder of it all. Because it is that. Then you can go to Niagara Falls. How many have been to Niagara Falls? Many, almost everybody. I'm not going to ask you who has not been because you might feel awkward in that. So many of you have been there. But the same thing happens. Now, we've been there about 5 or 6 times, I think. And every time we go there, I stand there in amazement at how beautiful and the beauty that God has created, His creation, in awe and the wonder of it all. This morning, I want us to see a greater wonder. The throne room of heaven. And try to capture. I showed you those few pictures of Disney World and Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls. And if you were there, it's so real. Reading about this, it's much more difficult to catch all that the Apostle John would sing. And hopefully, we can just touch a little into that so that some of that gets in here for us. So let me encourage you to take this sheet, turn it over, and hopefully you take some notes. And later in the week, pull this out and get these truths in your heart. As we began to read the scripture this morning, a door to heaven is opened. And we have an opportunity to see heaven. We have an opportunity to see what is going on. And it is so awesome. I don't think it's difficult for us. It's difficult for us to sense just how wondrous and awesome that sight would have been. What if you were transferred like John? Where would you be? Your face would be on the floor, wouldn't it? Your face would be on the ground. My face would be on the ground. The focal point is the throne and the one sitting on the throne. You know the term throne is mentioned 11 times in chapter 4. It must be important. 11 times. It's mentioned in chapter 4. In all of the book of Revelation, it's mentioned 37 times. So the throne of God must be very, very, very important. And what is happening around it and who is sitting on it and what is being done around him is utterly important and should have an impact on us. Everything is described in relation to the throne. What is described is some things are before it, some things are around it, but all that is happening is in relation to the throne itself and who is on the throne. The sight is so wondrous. It is so wondrous, it can only be described in symbolic terms. God has the appearance of jasper and carnelian. It is so amazing. He can't even put it in words that affect us. Even reading that, I don't think it gets to, it doesn't, does it? Even reading it, it doesn't penetrate all that that is and all that would be going on. You know that Jasper was one of the stones worn by the high priest on his breastplate. It is transparent and clear, that stone. Carnelian, is a fiery red stone. Also, we're told that a rainbow, like an emerald, encircles the throne. It's almost like a halo around the throne. And it's like an emerald, but it encircles the throne, emphasizing again the magnificence and awesomeness of God. 400 years ago, men discussed whether the world was heliocentric, in other words, centered around the sun, or geocentric, centered around the earth. But today, probably in our culture, the world is homocentric, centered around man. Everything that's happening today is all about us and how great we are as men. But you know what? You know what John says? Even without saying it, the universe is theocentric. The universe is theocentric, which means it is God-centered. Everything here shows us that it's all about God and centered around God. That should show us a lot of things. One of the things that causes me to ask, what about me? What's the center of my life? It's not centered around the sun. It's not centered around the earth. And I try not to, although sometimes it does. It is centered around me. Can't help that to some degree. But I've tried for many, many years to make the center God of my life. And gave up an awful lot to do that when I discovered the truth. Verse 4 tells us there are 24 elders. 24 elders sitting on 24 thrones. Who are they? And a lot has been written about who they are. And you may be raised in a certain denomination. Well, they're this, they're definite that. Let me give you three viewpoints. Three viewpoints as to who they are. One of the oldest, and you may have never heard this, one of the oldest viewpoints is they represent the ideal church. They represent the ideal church. There's 12 patriarchs, they say, and 12 apostles. 12 patriarchs represent the old covenant. 12 apostles represent the new covenant. And you have both represented there. And then there is the second viewpoint. They represent the raptured church. They represent the raptured church. They're dressed in white robes and they're wearing crowns. The white robes represent the fact that they have been cleansed. Crowns. Interesting. In the Greek, there are two words for a crown. Stephanos, which is where the name Stephen comes from, and diadema, which speaks of rulers. Here it is Stephanos in the Greek, which is the crown of victory, which seems to make sense that it would be the raptured church. It is not the ruler's crown, which is the diadem that we would say in English, the diadem. It's not the diadem, it's Stephanos, the victorious crown. The third viewpoint is there are those who say they are angels. And there is one scripture verse used for that, but when you take a look at it, it doesn't seem to indicate that. I lean toward the fact that they are the raptured church because it seems to make much more sense. There are four living creatures, and these four living creatures have six wings, covered with eyes, and they remind us of the seraphs in Isaiah 6, verse 2. Let me read Isaiah 6, verse 2 to you. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. Sounds like we read. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying, and they were calling to one another. Do you know what they were calling to one another? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. It also is reminiscent of Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 10, which says, each of the four had the face of a man. And on the right side, each had the face of a lion. And on the left, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. Again, reminiscent of what we just read in Revelation. Four living creatures are mentioned in Revelation 5. They hold golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They are mentioned also in Revelation 6, verse 14, chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 19. As wondrous as this sight is, and we can't even begin to fathom how wondrous it is, as wondrous as it is, we can miss what it's all about. We can get focused on the fact, oh, four living creatures, who are they? 24 elders. And I tried to describe briefly who they were. We can forget what is happening here, and that is worship. Worship. When the people of God gathered to worship in the Old Testament, they had a holy expectancy. When they gathered to worship, they had a holy expectancy. When they gathered to worship, they expected to have an experience with God. They had what is called the Kol Yahweh. Yahweh. They were, in their worship, they expected God to speak to them. They believed they would experience the Kol Yahweh, the voice of God. This was something they expected in their worship. Today in America, I'm not so sure that we're even thinking, am I going to experience God? But I think if we do understand how important worship is, and we lose ourselves in worship, and we can get in touch, not just that we have a warm fuzzy, because I like warm fuzzies. I love warm fuzzies. But as I said a couple weeks ago, warm fuzzies are only meant to get us in touch with God, to get our attention. God wants something more from us than warm fuzzies. I got your attention now. You have a sense of my presence. Now, what will you do? I think when people come in America today, I love how we interact with each other. I think that's fantastic. I love that. I love to see it. But we understand, do I come to have an experience with God? Do I come and I look to God and I want to get in touch with Him in a way maybe I can't by myself because everyone is here and we worship together and raise our voices to Him. Kol Yah. In 1903, the Wright brothers were successful for flying their plane for the first time for 12 seconds. 12 seconds they were able, Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. How many of you have been to Kitty Hawk? Amazing. I've been there too. And I've been to Kitty Hawk and seen that. 12 seconds they flew. Wilbur Wright immediately went and wired his sister Catherine and let her know that they were successful in flying for 12 seconds. Catherine went to the editor of the newspaper and told the editor that my brothers were successful in flying the airplane. They'll be back home at Christmas. Guess what the editor put in the newspaper? The Wright brothers will be back at Christmas. He failed to see the importance and significance of what Catherine was saying and missed the wonder of it all. And it is possible that we can come and enjoy the music and enjoy the singing and say, wow, aren't they good? Hopefully, you take something home from a sermon too. But it's still possible to miss. Did I have a taste? Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Did I taste and see how good the Lord was today? It's possible to miss that, just as the editor missed it then. There's a function to worship. In our attempt to define the elders and the four living creatures, it is possible for us to miss the function of what they're doing. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Day and night. Day and night. Day and night, they never stop saying. We could say, and it could read, and they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," one time. But it doesn't. It says day and night, they never stop saying that. In other words, day and night, they never stop worshiping. Am I saying to you that, wow, we should be doing that every minute of every day? I am not. But I think that it wouldn't be a bad idea once or twice during the day. I'll be honest with you about this. One of the prayers for me in the morning, when I have my own devotion before Stacy and I get together, "Lord, in the midst of the work that I'm doing during the day, remind me to take some time just to worship you." In the midst of what I'm doing, that doesn't always take place. And I go, I get upset with myself. I get upset with myself with that. But just think if we added that, in a sense. Take a break, coffee break or whatever. "Lord, I just want to acknowledge who you are today and I lift you up. I want to tell you how much I love you. Praise be your holy name, Lord, for there is truly none like you. May I be a blessing to you. May I be found faithful." Wow. Holy, holy, holy. The Greek word is hagios. It means to be set apart, sacred, worthy of veneration. In Jewish literature and in Scripture, whenever something is said twice, mentioned twice, that means it's very, very important. For example, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you," or "Verily, verily, I say to you." It's important. Whenever you see something mentioned three times, it's off the charts. It's off the charts. Did you know that this is the only attribute that's mentioned three times about God? Holy, holy, holy. It's the only attribute of God that is mentioned three times in a row like this. Therefore, it must be so vitally important that we see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament. And then the 24 elders praise God for his wondrous creation. Verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Notice whose pleasure. "And for thy pleasure," for your pleasure, "Lord, I was created. For your pleasure, you created me." How does that work out? Well, those are things for us to work on and think about. Worthy is the Greek word axios, and it means deserving worth, value, demonstrating worth. God deserves our worship. We dare not stand during worship. We dare not stand. If we open the Scripture and we see what's going on, we dare not do that because of what we see throughout Scripture. It's our opportunity. There was a craftsman who came from Europe some years back to restore a major cathedral in the United States. And he was working way at the very, very top of that cathedral. And there were some sightseers down at the bottom. And one of them looked up and he could barely see what the craftsman was working on at the very, very top of the cathedral. And so he yelled up to him and said, "Hey, I can't even see what you're working on. Nobody can see that." And the craftsman yelled down, "God can." And the same thing is true. Remember a couple of weeks ago I mentioned Eugene Peterson, who is renowned nationally and internationally. He's written many, many books, Presbyterian. And he said, you know, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. He said, "We Presbyterians don't raise our hand in worship. We just don't do that." He said, "Maybe though, because Scripture talks, and that's how the Jewish, maybe if we did that, even if we felt uncomfortable and raised our hands, maybe if we did it enough, it would become a habit because we see that in Jewish worship." And they would worship. He was saying, can you get, he was telling his fellow Presbyterians, can we get beyond our tradition? Can we move beyond our tradition and think possibly of getting out of the mold that we may be in? The question always is, do we see God as big? Do we see him small? Do we keep him in a box? Do we keep him where, do we domesticate God? Maybe that's a good word. Do we domesticate God where I have him under control here and I keep him here, and when I need him, I bring him out of the box? There's also the action of worship. The action of worship. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the word proskuneo. That is the Greek word for worship that we see here. Pros means towards, kuneo meaning to kiss towards. And I mentioned you have to get awfully close to worship that way. You have to get very, very close to kiss. You have to get very, very close to kiss your child's feet. It means to kiss the hand off, to kiss the feet, to prostrate oneself, to bow down. And we don't have kneelers here, but I mentioned a couple weeks ago that many Protestant denominations do not have kneelers. Do you know why? Because to show that they're different from what they broke away from. To show what they're different from what they broke away from, they want to look completely different. That's all. And so we have our traditions. And I mentioned to you that W. Criswell, the great Baptist preacher from another era, who he got so tired of his people coming and just kind of like going through the motions. He did, because he was powerful enough to do that. He had kneelers put on all the chairs, so when the people came, they were there and they were surprised and shocked. But because he was W.A. Criswell, no one would say anything. And he had them kneel and get themselves ready. I go, wow. Wow. Because he made the people move beyond where they were comfortable in their worship. The manner in which they worship, attitudes. Like what? What do we see? What kind of attitudes do we see here? We see awe. We see reverence. We see respect. There's honor. Bringing glory. What kind of actions do we see? Bowing, praising, singing, and many, many, many more. There are actions. Worship is a verb. Worship is a verb. Verbs denote action. When we're told to worship the Lord, there is action involved in worship. Casting down of crowns. We see that here. It's an act of worship. It's an act of submission. Bow down. I submit to you, Lord, because you are mighty. Do you know that whenever an army defeated another army, the king of the defeated nation got his crown and brought it to the king who defeated him and put it at his feet? The manner in which we worship, the manner in which we worship is an indication of whether or not we have been conquered by the king. Has he conquered my heart? Has he conquered my mind? Do I give him control of me? Worship. Do you know there are over 50 chapters dedicated to worship of God? 50 chapters dedicated to worship alone to God. Maybe you read this book. Anybody ever read this book? Love is the Killer App. It was on the bestseller list some years back, written by Tim Sanders. He says, this is what we should do. He said, this is what we should do. He said, you ought to get yourself and the stuff that's important to you and put it into containers, three containers, rubber, metal, or glass. And he said, those things that you have in life that are rubber, you put in, that are rubber, you can drop them and they'll bounce back. It won't affect your life too much. For example, you have a rubber ball and you drop it, it just bounces back. Or maybe if you miss the Chiefs and Titans game today, it won't affect your life in any way. I see a head shaking. Yes, it will. It will not. Really, it will not affect your life. And nothing major happened. Things made of metal that you have in your life, if you put in a metal container, when they fall down, they make a big clang and make a lot of noise. But still yet, you can recover from that. It won't really matter in your life. Maybe an example of that is you're going into your garage. It'll hurt a little bit. You go into your garage with your car and you scrape your car on the garage. And you hear that and you go, oh no. But you can recover from that. You can recover. However, things made of glass, if you drop them, they shatter into 1,000 pieces. You can never put it back like it was. If it breaks into big pieces, you might be able to glue, but still yet it won't be the same. Most of the time, they shatter into 1,000 pieces. That's our worship. That's how valuable it is. Our worship is one of the things that's like glass. That God looks at it like this. We were created for worship. And yet, I think we fail to see just how much and how important that is to God. My desire is to bring us a little closer to understanding what God wants. Change, having truth change our traditions and habits. Do I want us to do weird things? No, I do not. I want hearts changed and our minds changed to move a little bit closer to what we see, a little bit closer. And if we change just a little by little, you know, one of my jobs as a pastor is I think, just a bump, bump, like a little bumpy car, bump, bump, just bump you little by little, bump, 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 and hopefully the little bumps cause something. If I got a big bump, you'd run out of here and say, oh, he's crazy. If I gave you a big push, you'd run away. Just little bumps. This is a little bump today. So how many of you are going to run? Oh, Lou, put that hand down. Hopefully, and I wish this could be transformed into what John experienced. And we were able to see, and all this opened up before us, the throne room, when we were all transported there. I don't think we'd ever be the same again. We would never be the same again. That's what I'm trying to get across. that so much that we see, that I want to be a better worshiper, Lord, in 2020. I want to be a better worshiper of you. Yes, I'm saved, but I want to be a better worshiper of you. I want to give you my whole heart. I want to learn more of you, give more of myself to you. Amen. Amen. Musicians, bless you today, Lord. And I hope you have found our praise and worship to be wonderful and awesome. May we grow in that, I pray, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be who you are, for there is none like you. I love you, Lord, and I praise you today. Thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you. The elders will be up front here to pray for whatever need you may have. Pastor Stephen will be over here. If you are here today and you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't leave today without learning about what that means. Maybe you were baptized many, many years ago, baptized as an infant, and you think because of tradition that that's okay, that's fine, that's all I need. Scripture does not teach that. Learn that you can be saved and spend eternity forever and ever in heaven with God. And you can share that news with your family so that they too will be there. Will you dismiss us, Pastor Steve?
Dear Lord, you are worthy. You are holy, 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 Lord. We thank you that we could worship you, Lord, that we could lift up your name in prayer, that we could hear this message from Revelation, Lord. We pray that we will worship you more in our song, in our lives, in our word, Lord, in all that we do. We thank you for this time, Lord. I ask a blessing on everyone here, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.